beginning of the week, because I really felt that the Lord has given me a revelation, and I call it the secret of the double. How many are ready for that? Okay. This is a secret you can share with anybody that's a believer, that's hungry. Fits right in with what Ronnie and Roseanne were talking about. And so let's just commit it to the Lord, and then we're going to jump into this word. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to bring this wonderful word of revelation that you dropped into my heart. I didn't even get a chance to walk in the park before you gave it to me. You just dropped it in my heart as I got out of the bed on Monday morning and just sat down, began to read and then write what you showed me. So, Lord, I thank you for Holy Spirit activating this and activating faith in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. So let's look at the first scripture here is in Genesis 41 and 32, kind of laying the ground the groundwork for it. Okay. Genesis, that's the place to really lay the groundwork and the foundation for our Bible studies and just about everything. But Genesis 41, 32, and the dream, now this is Joseph, and he's speaking to the Pharaoh. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice. Everybody say twice. Twice. See, twice is double. Anytime something is double like this in the Bible, it's going to happen. I'm going to give you an illustration in just a minute. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if that's a revelation to you, but Abraham Lincoln, in early April of 1865, this is just days before he was killed, the Holy Spirit gave him a dream, but it was repeated twice. Say twice. And as a result, he did a Bible study about dreams, and he brought these dreams before his cabinet. And he said, God has shown me that I'm going to seal what happened here and setting the slaves free and things like that. He said, I'm going to have to seal it in my own blood. Oh, no, you can't do it. He said, no, I know it's going to happen. And he said, and he told the cabinet about the dream, and he said, because it happened twice, it is established by God, and it will happen. And it did happen just like he had spoken. So we see that I want to lay this foundation for what I'm going to teach today so you really get a hold of it. All right, so number one, we are in the days of shaking. How many know that's a fact? You wake up in the morning and you wonder what is the next shoe to drop, right? How many know we need to pray for our leaders? But we need to pray for some new leaders too, buddy, let me tell you. And my message isn't on that today, but it could be. But let's go ahead and look at these scriptures that we have here. Hebrews 12, 27 and 28. Let's go with it as soon as you can. Thank you. He said, yet once more, indicates the removal, God's saying, I'm going to shake one more time. Yet once more indicates the removal of the things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken, say that's me, may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, how many of you have the kingdom inside of you? Absolutely. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, what you've got on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit cannot be shaken. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. So we have a kingdom on the inside of us that cannot be shaken. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at Proverbs 28:1. Okay. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are bold as a lion. They didn't say you smell like a lion, but said that you are bold as a lion, right? I mean, no, we need to not be afraid to stand up and let our yes be yes and our no be no. Isn't that right? I remember standing in front of the city council in New Orleans when we had made a stand against the gay rights movement. They wanted to make churches and church-related groups, you know, teach this and believe this and embrace this. And so we took many of the pastors in the city, made a stand for righteousness. They tried to make a civil rights issue out of it. So we had a lot of the African-American pastors there who were standing for righteousness in the city, who even marched with Martin Luther King. They said, this has nothing to do with civil rights, but civil wrongs. They made a stand. And I remember, I was like Brother Green said, you're the coach. You get up there and the ACLU were there. Their big guns were there. And they would send somebody up, and then we would send somebody. I was like the coach. I say, you go in, now you're next. That went from 9 in the morning till 6 at night. No breaks. We won. Praise the Lord. But I remember when I got up and gave my testimony, man, I was booed and hissed and everything like that. But I counted that as that's great. Yeah. Persecution for righteousness' sake. Bring it. You know, what are you going to do? All right? Okay, so turn to your neighbor and say, because you have the righteousness of God on the inside of you, through the Holy Spirit, you have the righteousness of Christ. You are bold as a lion. Praise God. All right. Glory to God. How many know not everybody's going to like you? Right? Jesus said, he said, if everybody likes you, you're like the false prophets in the old days. You know? So, anyway, that doesn't mean we try to be unlike. We need to be loving like Jesus is, obviously, but... All right, the spirit of wisdom has invaded our wokeism, excuse me, wish it was wisdom, wish it was. The spirit of wokeism has invaded our nation, and we must use our spiritual weapons to come against this enemy. Let's look at Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. God is doing that in our day. Can you say amen? More and more people are rising and saying, hey, you know, we don't want to live in this type of society. We don't want to live in this woke spirit thing that is trying to invade even the military. You know, we don't want that. And they're trying to get you in the Air Force, people that are in the Air Force, to not even use the name mom and dad, you know. They're literally trying to turn our country upside down, but I got a word for them. They've already lost in the name of the Lord Jesus. How many know our words are powerful? When we speak the word of God, look out, right? Absolutely. Praise God. This has nothing to do with politics, but I was asked to reach out to this young man at Tulane University, and So I took him out to lunch, and the guy that asked me to ask him out was a friend of his parents, and he said, this young man really needs Jesus. So I took the guy out for lunch, and I shared my testimony with him. It was really nice to him. And at the end, I said, would you like prayer? Would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Because it will change your life in a wonderful way, and you'll always be glad that you did this. And he said, well, no, I don't think I will do that. And I said, why not? You know, what's the matter for you, right? And he said, well, see, here's my problem. I'm going, okay. He said, my problem is that everything I need, I've got. My school is totally paid for, and they've given me, because, you know, I have this great scholarship, I really don't need anything. I'm cool. Something rose up on the inside of me. I copped an attitude. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to do you the biggest favor you would ever dream of. Yeah, what is that? He said. I said, I'm going to ask God to take away all that stuff so that you will have a need and you will fall on the rock Christ Jesus and be broken lest that rock fall on you and ground you to powder. Oh, don't do that. I said, oh, I'm committed to it, baby. Let me tell you, I'm committed. I said, "We're gonna. I'm gonna send a word. It's gonna happen. You understand?" Oh, last thing I heard was, "Please don't." I said, "Oh yeah, later, Betty." But okay. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. Okay, this isn't even close to where I'm going with this word. All right, number two, it is God's word that makes us bold. Tell your neighbor, you're bold in God. Knowing what and who you have, meaning Christ, not just in your mind, but in your heart. Let's look at Psalm 144, 1 and 2. I'm getting closer to the place I want to be, but got to kind of do line upon line here. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for the battle. Hallelujah. We can say that today when we lay hands on the sick, right? We can say, who trains my hands for war, and you lay hands on people and they recover. How many know every single one of us has that anointing to do that? Lean over and tell your neighbor, he's especially talking to you. And then he says, he's my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, woo, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Wow. David knew where his bread was buttered, and he knew who was his real power and authority. All right? So it says we must know this not just in our mind, but in our heart. That's the fill-in. We must follow God's Spirit, and we will win the battle regardless of the conditions. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you were up against a wall? You didn't know necessarily where your next meal was coming from. You didn't have a job. Other than God, there was no hope for you. Anybody ever been there? Okay. I remember it was 1996. The Holy Spirit told us to leave the church that we were pastoring and go on the road. And also, he told us to forgive two of the guys that had really been thorns in our flesh. And we did do that. And so the Lord said, now, I'm going to thrust you. He said, the prophecy that you had received back in 1968, it's now 1996, he said, this is the time for the second part of that prophecy to come into play. And the second part of it was, God was going to send me across the nation. And the first part of the prophecy was, I'm going to strip you of everything you'd count on in the natural. You can hardly wait for a word like that, you know. Just, oh, Jesus. And that happened, and then so he thrust us out, but we had nothing. We had no money. We didn't know what to do. I said, I have no offers to go anywhere, but I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. And so he did, and he started opening doors. And before I knew it, he told me this. He said, now that you're under my employment, directly, I'm doubling, there's the word, I'm doubling everything you've ever received from man. Whoa. And you know that came to pass. Every month it was a doubling of what I had received before. Not double, but I had received one particular check, you know, for so much. God said, I'm going to double it. And every month it doubled. And we had, it was the same, but it was double. And so wherever we went, that's the way it was. It was amazing. And I think I was over 70 churches in 1 year. That's a lot of traveling, right? That's why I like kind of being close, you know. But God was as good to us as his word, right? And he's always that way. Tell your neighbor, he's always that way. He longs to double you. How many know this? I'm going to prophesy over you. This is the season for your doubling. How many receive that? Put it in the bank, baby. This is the season for you to double. Glory to God. Right? And we're not talking about chewing gum, double mint and all that. You know, we're not talking about that. All right. So let's move on here. I'm getting closer. And I mean, I'm getting excited about this. All right, here we go. Number three, while the world is in the midst of being shaken, we are in a time of acceleration. Acceleration. To make us more than conquerors. How many are more than conquerors today? The Lord is opening a new revelation of His double portion. I thought I knew a little bit about this until Monday. And the Holy Spirit just tore the cover off, man. He started revealing things. I hadn't seen it. All right, so let's first of all, let's examine some of these scriptures. The Lord is opening a new revelation on His double portion. Let's look at Isaiah 61:7. Prophetic here. Instead of your shame, you shall have what? Double honor. When Jesus is in our life, we have double honor. Right? And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, say, my land, they shall possess what? Double! Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Why everlasting joy? Because God's pouring the double into you. Hallelujah to God. Double joy, double peace, double finances. This is the time for the double. Amen. Some of you look at me and say, I don't know about that. Well, I'm telling you, I have lived it. Ronnie and Roseanne have lived it. Many of you have lived it. God is getting ready to touch all of you if you'll take it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I'm jealous for you to receive this. I want you to receive this. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Zechariah 9 and 12. You know, the Bible says, let every word be established by what? Two or what? Three witnesses. So God wants to lay the word in. Okay? I'm going to have us all speak. We're going to speak this together out loud in just a minute. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. How many are prisoners of hope today? Praise the Lord. Even today, I declare that I will what? Restore double to you. So let's say it together. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Praise the Lord. Double honor. We just saw in Isaiah, double hope. Praise the Lord. Right? Ooh. Now, we just starting right now. Okay. What are the three doubles? There's three doubles. And we're not talking about baseball here. Okay. All right. So let's look at the first one. The promise and the oath. Look, man, let me just get up close and personal with you. God wants us to be so convicted and convinced of the truth that I'm fixing to lay on you that nothing will shake you, that it will crystallize your vision, and you will say, I am going for it. I'm going to receive everything God has for me. How many know that you say, well, I just want enough for myself? No, you're selfish. You're selfish if that's what you want. Because how many know God wants us to be able to, if God says, I want you to give $100 to that person over there. Go ahead and write a check for $1,000 to the Victory Channel or whatever, you know. And you say, okay, I'm going to do it because, and you have the finances because you've been sowing and you have received the what? The revelation of God's double. It's time, man. It's time. Praise God. Yeah. Hebrews 6:13-17. See, I like to do things line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm a word guy. How many know we have to be word people? It's not just feelings, right? But it's got to be something more than it. For when God made a promise to Abraham, how many know we are children of Abraham? Oh, yeah. We're going to see that very clearly. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no other greater. I didn't think we were supposed to swear. God swears, not you, right? But he's swearing by himself. He's not cussing. He is swearing to give you a promise in Christ. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater, he's looking around, anybody greater than me? I don't think so, right? he swore by himself, saying, surely. Man, you see that word, surely. I mean, no, it's not surely. You know, we're not talking about Shirley Temple now, right? He says, surely. Say, surely. Surely. Loves it. Surely blessing I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and oath, there's the promise and the oath, for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus, God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, say, that's me, the immutability, that means you, it can't be changed, the immutability of his counsel. Why? Because he swore by it. He swore by his own will. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it with an oath. There you go. Let's read this together out loud. There's something about speaking the word is very, very important. Ready? For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For the men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Praise God. How many love speaking the word? Tell your neighbor, you did a good job there, okay? All right, so the first double is the promise and the oath. And I'll give you the fill-in. The oath confirms the promise. Well, why did God have to do that? Because he wants to make sure we get it. He really wants to make sure we get this, right? What is that promise? What is the promise and the oath then? What is it? I'm glad you asked. Let's look over at Genesis 22, 16 through 18. And said, God says, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord. He's talking to Abraham. Because you have done this thing, what? He didn't withhold Isaac, his only son. And have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiply, I will multiply you. Your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, that's us, in your seed, which is Jesus, and then us, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So we see that the first time that this is mentioned was in Genesis chapter 22, verses 16 through 18. Now let's shift gears and look at Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Okay, so the promise and the oath, that's the first double we're looking at right now. It has to start with that. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Tell the person next to you, that's you. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed. Are you getting this now? And heirs, you're an heir according to the promise. Now, let's read this together. You ready? For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. Ooh. Praise God. All right. So, we're going to see. I mean, Abraham was incredibly blessed, but so are you, even more so now in Christ. So the second double, what's the second double, Pastor Dave? Okay, blessing and multiplication. Are you getting this? First is the promise and the oath. Second is the blessing and the what? multiplication. How many know they go together? Right? Let's look at Hebrews 6, 13 through 15. Didn't we read this earlier, brother? Yeah, we did. We're going to do it again, okay? Glory to God. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. There's and multiply, and I will multiply. There's the second one, the second double. Praise the Lord. Where there's blessing, there's multiplication. All right? With when God's involved. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Wow. So let's look at Genesis 24 because this substantiates what has happened. Genesis 24 and verse 35, first of all. The Lord has blessed my master. This is Eliezer, Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given. Hello. We're still on. Good, good, good. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. Saying, why are you reading this to me? We are Abraham's kids. Huh? How many know we need to start expecting? You know, oh, I just want enough to shut up. You sound religious to me, you know. Well, God doesn't have them. Read the Bible, please, please. Okay, and read who you are. What about his son? This, we could go on. We could look at Jacob, but we're just going to look at this one. Then Isaac, his son, sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Oh, then Ronnie, his son, sowed in that same year, reaped 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Why? Because in blessing, he will bless you, right? And in multiplying, he will multiply you, right? Let's look at one more. We did, that's 26, yeah. We read that one. I've told this before, but I felt like, probably not recently, but it's such a good testimony. I couldn't resist it. Say, Pastor Dave, I forgive you for repeating yourself maybe a couple weeks ago. Some of you maybe have not heard of it. So I was in prayer one morning. This is when I was in Louisiana, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to go to such and such a John Hancock office. Because one of the men there in the church needs you to show up today. So I got in my car and I drove out to see this guy. First name was Ray. So I walk into the office and Pastor Dave, I'm so glad you're here. I was going to call you. I really need to see you. I said, well, that's what the Holy Spirit told me. What's happening? What's going on? What's cooking? He said, we had this new family that just moved in from Fort Worth, Texas. And they had a trading account with us, and we've lost it somewhere in cyberspace and can't find it. And he said, it's been 2 weeks now. And he said, we're desperate, man. I said, well, you and I are going to agree. And the Bible says, whatever two agree on is touching. There you go, double again. Whatever two agree on is touching anything on earth, that I will do it. My Father will do it for you. So he said, well, that's not all. He said, I'm ready to agree with you on that. But he said, there's more. I said, what is it? He said, it's been the worst month of the year. It was September. Worst month of the year. So he said, I need prayer for two things. I need prayer for this lost account. I need prayer for my own work here. So okay. So we held hands, we spoke the word, and then we gave thanks. I mean, no, giving thanks is really, really important. Giving thanks. Don't take it for granted. Give thanks. So we did, and I didn't hear from this guy. That was September. I didn't hear from him till January. I didn't know what happened to him. I mean, that's a long time to wait to find out if you get your prayers answered, right? And so he wrote me a long letter in January, and he said, I've been waiting because the blessings have been coming so fast that I didn't want to miss out. And he said, first thing that happened was 2 hours after you left, we found the account. It reappeared. Oh, yeah, baby. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, right? But we cancel that through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, then September turned out to be my best month. And he says, October was better. November was better. December was better. And January is better than all put together. I went, lay hands on me, dude. So, but how many know we need to expect these things, man? That's why I'm giving these testimonies. You know, I don't just pull a truth out of the air but not be able to back it up. We need to say, no, man, this will happen for you. That's why they do what they do, right? They tell stories and testimonies. Okay, so the second double is blessing and multiplication. What's the third? Here we go. Faith and patience. They're all in the same scriptures. They're all in the same scriptures, faith and patience. Let's look at Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you, each one of you, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through what? Faith and patience, inherit the promises. God doesn't want us to be hit and miss, right? Thank you for showing up regularly, you know, because I know it's important. A lot of the words are like line upon line, precept upon precept. But let's say this together. Ready? But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's the third double. Praise God. Lean over and tell the person next to you, don't stop. Say, keep being faithful. Keep hanging in there. Keep standing on the word. Keep expecting God that your harvest is right around the corner. And if I was in New Orleans, say right around the corner, okay? It's coming. It's coming. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Now, let's look at Habakkuk 2. Oh, I love this scripture. You say Habakkuk. I say Habakkuk. You say Patata. I say Patata. Okay, here we go. Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. I mean, no, we need to write things down. The Holy Spirit shows us. Tell a person next to you, he's especially talking to you about this. I hope you're getting this. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. May not come tomorrow, but there's an appointed time for you, right? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. I mean, no, if God said it, it's going to happen, baby. It will happen for you. At the end it will speak and it will not lie. God can't lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. God, it's been 2 weeks. Yeah. Come on. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will. There's that surely word again. It will surely come and not tarry. Tarry is an old covenant word, Old Testament word. It's not going to delay, all right? So let's read this together. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Ooh, preaching myself happy here, man. Number four, last one, ready? Jesus, as our high priest, guarantees. Who is the guy on TV? I guarantee. Justin Wilson, that's right. Jesus, as our high priest, guarantees our blessings. Wow. Let's look at Hebrews 7 and those verses. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, Salem means peace, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, there's Abraham again, returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Wow. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth, part of all, first being translated, can only be one person, folks, king of righteousness, who's that? Jesus. And then also king of Salem, or king of peace, meaning king of peace. Who's the prince of peace? Jesus. Without father, without mother, that means he wasn't created, folks. Without genealogy, having neither beginning of days or end of life. Who's that? All right. But made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. That, to me, the Melchizedek ministry, I believe, was what Jesus entered into right after he rose from the dead. Right? And we are a part of this, right? One person said, his name is Garland Pemberton, he said, when heaven kissed earth, I was in the middle of the smack. Hallelujah to God. So let's look at verses 7 and 8. There we go. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser, that's us, or Abraham, is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there, in heaven, he, who is he? Jesus, receives them. There ain't nothing in the New Testament about tithing. Check that out, right? Here mortal men receive tithes. Ronnie and Roseanne, they're mortal people. They received tithes this morning. But there, how many know what we do here translates up into heavenly places? Right? God takes notice of what you do. God takes real close notice of what we do. He's proud of you. He loves you. He wants to do everything possible to celebrate, you know, his love for you, right? Absolutely, man. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. One of the great ways that you can prove that God is alive, and I have a wonderful testimony, one of the ways that you can prove that God is alive is when you start to tithe. That's God saying amen. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's read this first, and I'm going to share with you. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is written, he lives. All right, so do we know, and I'm going to share this with you in just a minute, do we know who we are bringing our tithes to? He lives. Jesus took all the curses of the law that Abraham's blessing would be ours. Let's look at Galatians 3:13 and 14 again. Christ has redeemed, past tense. Let's all read it together. It's so good. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, if you trust him in the area of money, then all of us, and you realize he's faithful there, well, then you say, well, man, that's the least. He's faithful to me. He's faithful and will be faithful to me in everything. Beautiful. Now, I've got to share this with you. Many years ago, as a matter of fact, it was probably in the mid-40s, 1944, 45, my dad was working in New York. He had his own company. anchor chain business, but it was nationalized during World War II. And the Navy said, we're going to nationalize your company and you can run it for us. So he did. But he got into a lot of social drinking to the point where he wound up being an alcoholic. And he cried out to his pastor, Dr. Lindquist, who prayed with him, got him back into church, got him in AA meetings. That was about the only support group they had. Soon after that, my dad, you know, started coming back to church. He said, you know, I really need to honor God for what he's done for me. And we were broke. He still wasn't working. We were in debt. Our car was falling apart. And I was just a little guy, but he said, he read in Malachi, the third chapter, about proving God with a tithe. And so he did. He said, all I have is a $5 bill. Found it in a leather coat. And he said, I'm going to give that to the Lord on Sunday. So he went to church, gave the $5. The next week, he gets a call. Nobody knew what he'd done. Next week, he gets a call from a guy named Les Talbot. Les Talbot, he met at an AA meeting. Les was going to church, too, he and his wife. Les Talbot had a seat on the stock exchange. Dad didn't know any of that, but he told my father. He asked my father a question. He said, you know, the Lord woke me up today, and he said, I'm concerned about you, Henry. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, are you working? My dad said, no, I'm not. He said, I'll get you a job. He said, we're going to start you as a security analyst. You'll be taught, and then you'll move into being a broker, work for my firm. And he said, another question I need to ask you, he said, what kind of car are you driving? My dad said, kind of broken down one right now, you know. It was an Oldsmobile. And he said, okay, well, my brother, been praying about this, my brother has a car that he doesn't really drive a lot. And it's a late 40, I think 1947, something like that. He said I think this is in 1948, but he said it's about a year old, and he said he'll sell it to you, and when you start getting money from your work, then you can start to pay him back. But until that time, just take the car. So he said, now you got work and you got a car. So my father was just rejoicing tremendously. That week, he gets a check in the mail. He didn't share this with anybody, what he did, that paid all his debts off, all his debts. And from that moment on, he was a giver. And the Lord told me to do this. And so I found a few years ago, Ian and I, we found these old letters starting in the early 40s till about 1973, of correspondence between my mom and dad and Dr. Lindquist. Dr. Lindquist had moved from West Orange, New Jersey, to California. He pastored there from 1933 to 53. And then in 53, he moved to California and pastored the Hollywood Presbyterian Church out there, big, big church. We actually went out and visited him at one time in the late 50s or middle 50s. But I just found this, and this was my dad was a tither in his local church, but here's a receipt. First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, May 10th, 1954. Henry Newell, Burnsville, New Jersey, $300. I found a lot of these going through the letters. Here's the letter. Dear Helen and Henry, thanks again for your eloquent check, and please know that it is being used for good. 354 was a lot. It can be a lot now. Ella and I continue to speak of you often and thank God for everything you are and mean to us. May the days ahead among you be your best. And then he writes a little personal note. Can't tell you what it means to have such friends as you. And I got thinking, you know, how many know God is faithful to us? He's faithful to individuals. He's faithful to families. God wants to be very faithful to you. you are in, whether you know it or not, but I believe you do now, you have entered into a time where the secret of the double is being revealed to us, right? We're all moving into it in a new dimension, in a new way from this time on. How many excited about that? Amen. Well, I want everybody to stand. We're finished here. Our altar team, I'd ask them to come in case people need prayer at the end, but I wrote this out, and I want us to say this together. I believe it's a good thing to have a confession. On the count of three, let's start. One, two, three. In these last days, we are called to be bold as lions. We are in a time of acceleration. We are blessed with the double. God's promise and oath. God's blessing and multiplication. God's faith and patience. In the name of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for these awesome folks. I thank you that you have taken us where we are, but you're not leaving us there. You're moving us on to higher ground. We're moving into higher ground, folks. We don't know exactly what that means, but we're excited about it. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to start to see the secret of the double unfolded to our lives in these days, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody needs prayer, you can come. The team will make their way down here. If you don't need prayer, fellowship, bless one another, you're dismissed. God bless you. Don't forget Wednesday night. It's going to be great on George Whitfield.